coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on StandardBredCanada.ca. Norm Bork here. There's some encouraging news in the fight against EPO. Equine Guelph working on a way to make it more easily detectable. They've been working on it for some time, and right now they're starting to break some new ground. They're calling it a blood passport. We'll talk to the lead researcher about that and so much more on this edition of Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. Dr. Dorothy Bienzel is a lead researcher at a University of Guelph Equine Guelph study into ways to more easily detect abnormal levels of EPO. They've broken some new ground. We are delighted to have her with us. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you, Norm.
Explain to us how this blood passport is more of a reliable detector, or at least you hope it'll be a more reliable detector of EPO.
Well, Norm, as you know, EPO increases red blood cell number and therefore the amount of hemoglobin in the blood. And it's being used in an effort to make horses run faster, that
right.
they can run faster and use more oxygen and carry more oxygen around the body to the muscles. Now, methods to detect EPO are lagging. It is very difficult to detect EPO being given to a horse. However, the effect of EPO is always the same. It always increases the red blood cell number and it always increases the hemoglobin. So our interest is to determine whether what the normal amount of hemoglobin and the normal amount of red blood cells are in horses that are licensed to race and ready to race.
Doctor, you've talked about some of the side effects of EPO, and of course this wouldn't matter to the cheaters because they are what they are, and I won't get into that right now, but certainly one of them being an increased risk of cardiovascular disease, even sudden heart attack?
Well, it's just like in people. And the odd horse, while horses are being given human recombinant erythropoietin or a part of the erythropoietin molecule, mm-hmm. and in some instances that can lead to an immune response, which then cross-reacts with the horse's own erythropoietin, and that is a fatal immune response.
Okay.
In animals that are given a smaller amount of EPO and don't have the immune response, they will increase their hemoglobin, their red blood cells, and sometimes to the point where the blood becomes difficult to push through capillaries and veins, and there is sludging, which can lead to heart attacks. It can lead to bleeding in the brain, essentially a stroke, and a variety of things like that.
Interesting, Doctor, that you should mention the blood turning to sludge. As a former smoker, one of the things that was an impetus for me to quit was when I was told that smoking turns your blood to sludge. And that's what gives you a heart attack. It happens to us. Imagine how difficult and how traumatic that must be to an animal who certainly didn't ask for this. Anyway, part of the problem, I understand, is the fact that there is, what's the number, 60 different types of EPO out there, and apparently that makes the testing harder?
That's right, sure. EPO is used as a drug to treat certain conditions in people, but the patent has come off this particular combination of EPO. And now there are many sources of EPO, many of them manufactured in developing countries, in countries that have less astringency and quality control, and they are flooding the market. Usually the black market is not something that can be purchased in a pharmacy. So there are lots of different types of EPO around, and it's a very small molecule. It's given to a horse, it exerts its effect fairly quickly, and then it's gone. So it's difficult to find it in blood or in urine.
Now, I understand that one of the other challenges is the fact that hemoglobin levels vary from breed to breed. Standardbred's different than thoroughbred, different than quarter horse. Is that right?
Sure. There are differences in breeds, and it also differs as to how fit the horse is, of course. So if we look at what's normal for our average riding horses that are not high-level athletes, that's going to be very different than what's normal for a thoroughbred that's ready to start a race, or even a quarter horse or a standardbred. So we need to look at horses that are fit and training to race, and what does it look like right before a race and right after a race, and how is it per breed, which is what it normally should be doing, and then we get so-and-so many red blood cells and so-and-so much hemoglobin. Or this horse has been exposed to more EPO, and it has a higher hemoglobin and more red blood cells.
You've been working on this a long time, since well before 2004?
Yes, we started doing some work at that time. We looked at the experimentally what really happens when you give EPO to a horse. And we can tell very nicely what happens when you give EPO to a horse if we were to take a bone marrow sample. Mm-hmm. But that's not a practical thing to do at horses on the track.
Yeah, and as I understand it, that is a bit of a tough break because it is easier to detect EPO in humans, from what I've read, largely due to the fact that the bone marrow creates the fresher red blood cells from which you can detect the EPO readings, correct?
Absolutely. You're very much correct. And those young red blood cells are called reticulocytes, and people release quite a large number of them if they've been exposed to EPO. Now, horses are just different than humans, and they don't do the same thing.
However, you were saying that in horses, the hemoglobin levels are a fantastic, call it a textbook, that tells you what the EPO readings are, I guess hence the name blood passport, but it is a very almost foolproof way of doing it.
Sure, and I mean, the main advantage of using hemoglobin is that it's a very robust measurement. It's easy to measure hemoglobin reliably without too much interference from other substances, and it will catch the effect of any kind of EPO.
Anytime you're involved in trying to catch cheaters, it's a bit of a cat and mouse game, and before too long, we find that the mice, or in this case, the rats, have figured out a way to mask the various illicit drugs that they're using on their horses. Is there a way to mask EPO to this point?
Well, the only outcome of EPO, the only direct outcome, is to increase hemoglobin. So if a horse has been treated with EPO, the hemoglobin will be up. If it's not been treated with EPO, then the hemoglobin will not be up. So this is not going to be something that can be hidden.
Hmm.
Yes, you know, assays to directly detect EPO in urine or in blood are difficult, and there is a great cat and mouse game, and we're always going to be losing because we cannot have 60 different assays to detect all the different kinds of EPO around, but we can look at the hemoglobin, and that's a consistent measurement.
That is really exciting because that almost covers all the bases, and that's a case where the cats, the good people, win, right?
Yes, of course, it's only EPO, and there are many other drugs out there that are being used to make horses run faster.
Certainly, and that is a never-ending, treadmill, I'm afraid to say. But, you know, you people are doing some fantastic work in that area. Clearly, when you get this thing up and running, you're going to be making huge headway. How close are we to having a standardized system of measuring hemoglobin for the purposes of EPO?
We can already measure hemoglobin right now. We need to do a lot of statistics to make sure that we have very tight statistical analysis that tells us what would be normal for thoroughbreds, standardbreds, and quarter horses. So we have collected a large number of samples over the last 2 years, and we're in the process of doing the statistical analysis, and then we'll be able to say with a high degree of confidence that if a hemoglobin value above, let's say, 150 grams per liter is going to be abnormal. One is going to be abnormal 1,000 times out of a population of 100,000, for example, in standardbreds. So we want to be very certain about the statistical analysis and to be able to give a probability of what it means to have an abnormal value.
Exciting stuff. Thank you for being with us, Doctor.
Okay, you're very welcome, Norm. It's my pleasure.
Dr. Dorothy Nienzel of the University of Guelph. I love it. Hey, cheaters, take this down. Write this down. You're cooked. At least some of you will be. We certainly hope so. That is it for this edition of Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Boer Communications.